Let us pray. Father, we thank you for miracles do happen today, Lord. Lord, we pray that right now, Lord, as we open our eyes, open our hearts to receive your word, we commit this time into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading just now, you read about a woman who is very, very persistent. She will not give up, and she'll make sure everything happens. Women are basically very persistent, right? And they will ask you again. Do miracles happen? I think the greatest miracle happened to me is when I got married. Really, there's a miracle out of... No one will want me in a sense, but God has put Carol with me. And why I say persistent, women are very persistent because... Let me share something with you, right? Last week, when Ross Patterson was speaking, he says that we read the book God, our divine matchmaker, and Carol read that. And Carol is very persistent. One day she told me, I was a pastor and she was my member. One day she called up, says, Pastor Freddy, can I meet up with you? I say, well, okay, what's up? Normally I don't go out with a lady, but I remember it was at Hans, last time the Hans restaurant, and met up, and then she's very persistent. She said, let me tell you something. The Lord showed me that you are my husband. I said, oh, really? Let me pray about it. Let me pray. We always say, let me pray. But I have a confession, I didn't pray. I'm very scared of getting married, so I didn't pray. But she's very persistent because the Lord has really shown her something, even in vision, through her home cell people, that this guy, by the name of Freddy, will be her husband. She ran away, right, went away to Glasgow, spent some time there trying to run away. But three times as she was attending the church there, it was on the book of Jonah, do not run away. That's why she came back and told me, can we get married? And then that's it. And I said, okay, let me pray. But I really confess I didn't pray. But after a period of time, because of her persistence, because God listens to her prayer, right, we got finally married. And when she was in UK having mission trip, she called me one day. Then the Lord convicted me to get married to Carol. I said, okay. Then I told her, let's get married. She said, okay. That was in, I think, October. And 2nd of December, which is yesterday, right, we got married. 27 years. God has blessed us really beautifully, right? So be persistent. Continue to pray. And we can learn today from today's scripture verse. This woman, the Shunammite woman, is very persistent. She called upon the Lord, and she called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered the prayer. Miracles do happen today, and especially in our life, if we believe and we have the faith in the Lord. I just want to share something with you. Two identical miracles happened to two women in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. In the 1 Kings chapter 17, or verse 9, a poor widow of Zarephath. And here, today's scripture reading, 2 Kings chapter 4, a rich woman, a very noble woman, but she's childless. She cannot bear child, cannot bear children. 1 Kings chapter 17 is under the ministry of Elijah. And today's scripture reading is under the ministry of Elisha, the other Elijah. But both women knew how to draw strength from the Lord in times of their difficulties and in times of distress. Many of us, right, we are afraid to approach God in our time of difficulties. We dare not. Somehow or other, maybe due to other experiences that God did not answer, and we lose this advantage of coming to the Lord and really be persistent, asking Him to bless, to help us, to heal us. The Lord is able to that. He's more willing and waiting for us to come. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the poor widow experienced two miracles in her life. She left nothing in her home, just a cup of flour and a little bit of oil. And she was about to die, picking up some sticks to make a cake for her and her children and her son, and then both of them would die. But God says to Elijah, bake a cake for him, for me first. And then the jug of flour in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 16, the jug of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word spoken by Elijah. She was supplied abundantly. And then the rain, when her son died later, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 23, Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room after resuscitating him into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Two miracles. One is abundant supply. Secondly, is that her son died, right? And then was alive. But today, this scripture reading, the rich woman of Shunem, commonly known as a Shunammite woman, also experienced two miracles. Let's open to our Bible again to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to verse 37. It's long reading. I'm going to refer a lot of verses over there. It's page 604 in the Old Testament of the Bible in the pews. Firstly, this woman, Shunammite woman, experienced the birth of a son. And second miracle, the resurrection of her son who had died. Two identical miracles happened to two women under two different prophets, but under the power of the same God. The God who is known as Jehovah Jireh, who provides more than enough, and the God who is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, perfect healing. We look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 37. Here she is. She's a very noble woman. She knows that Elisha is a man of God. She must have heard from history that how the God that Elisha worshipped opens the Red Sea and many miracles happen, provided manna from heaven. And she believed. And when Elisha comes along, she will provide a room for him to rest, to lie down, and to have food. She is a woman who is rich. He has a husband, but no children. She is a barren. She experienced frustration and crisis in her life. But she approached the Lord, the servant of God, in time of crisis. Verse 8, one day Elisha went to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever Elisha passed by that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way." The Shunammite woman knew that Elisha was a man of God. She says in verse 10, "Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, provided everything for him, a table, a chair, a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." And verse 11, one day Elisha came and he turned into the chamber and rested there. Verse 12, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman here. Call her here." And when he had called her, she stood before Elisha. And he said to him, "Now say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble.'" She's rewarded, taken all the trouble for us. "What is it to be done for you?" Elisha was trying to do something, reward her. "Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king? Would you like me to say some word to the government or to the king on your behalf?" Then the woman, the Shunammite woman, says, "I dwell among my people. I don't need such thing. Unlike the widow of Zarephath, a poor widow, for this woman, Shunammite woman, she's secured, living in plenty, no need of any kind of assistance. As the widow, she needs assistance, right? But as for this Shunammite woman, she don't need any assistance from the king or the government." And verse 14 says, "What then is to be done for her?" The servant says. Gehazi says, "Well, she has no son. She's rich, she's noble, she does everything. She has no son, and her husband is old." That means she could be young, still able to bear a child, but because due to the husband, she's old, unable to bear, to give her a child. The only problem that she has is that she's barren. Like many women in the Bible, a woman who is unable to give birth is a disgrace, so-called. It's not complete. It's a great disappointment to the family because the family's name would cease after the husband died. Much like our Chinese culture, that's why we must insist on having descendants to carry on the name. Her husband is old, and when the husband dies, all his estate, all his possessions would be passed on to someone because he has no children. Passed on to someone, not to her. She got nothing left, and because she has no children. So in the olden, in the Bible times, when a man passed on, the wife, if the wife do not have children, it will be passed on to one of the very faithful servant or whoever it is. So the woman left with nothing. If she has a child, a children, if she has children, then she can depend on the children. That's why many times in the Bible, Jesus said, take care of widows, take care of orphans, take care of them. Jesus is so passionate about us taking care of those who are widow. If she is a widow, a childless widow, especially a childless widow, she has no future. No one able to provide or protect her. She will be helpless, very vulnerable, like what Jesus said in a persistent woman, a widow in Luke chapter 18. Give her justice. And that's why God is so concerned for widows in need. A widow's security is her children. And if she is barren, her future, especially in her old age, nothing. She got nothing at all. And the Lord knew for a Shamanite woman, because she got no children, if the husband died, that means she's left with nothing. Even before the husband died, God already knew, God knew, and God is going to provide for her. In verse 15, a prophecy was given. He said to her, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. A prophecy was given. And he said, at this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. That means God already provides something for her in future, even though she's not aware. Because she's going to bear a child, and the child will take care of her. And if the husband dies, everything will be given to the child, and the child will provide for the mother. Isn't it Jehovah Jireh? He will meet all her needs, even before it happens. To her, it's just impossible. My husband is old, beyond able to give birth. She must have heard from Elisha that the God that Elisha worshipped is a miracle-working God. And she wants to believe it. But when it comes to her, she looks at herself, she looks at the husband, it's impossible. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant. It's just impossible to believe. How can this happen when my husband is old and I'm not able to bear? My circumstances, our situation, maybe some of us are in this situation, we can't. We know that it's impossible, no way of going through anymore. It's just impossible. How often we are like this woman? No, it cannot happen to me. Can't, it's difficult. Due to past failure, maybe God has not answered your prayer. And you say, no, it wouldn't happen. I like this woman say, no, Lord, oh man of God, do not lie to me. It's impossible for me to bear a son, to bear a child. We can become sometimes so insecure in God. But God is the one who is willing to give. Maybe some of us are going through tough times, very tough times, difficult times. Could be family problem, could be marital problem, could be children's problem. You're going through some tough time. This year is coming to an end and you're afraid to face 2017. You're afraid that it may repeat. What happened 2016? Oh no. It's just so dark. I always say that we need to pull the little donkey. Eeyore. Everything is so depressing. No. Some of us are like that. Due to past experience, thinking, no, it cannot happen to me. I've asked God for this, and it doesn't happen. How can it happen again? The woman says, do not lie to me. Don't give me, raise my hope, and then I know that I can't, right? Maybe in your workplace, there's a project you're about to handle, and it seems too big a project, too difficult. Or people under you, it's so difficult to control. And you just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Or even a sickness, right? They don't seem to get well. You pray and pray. Many people pray. It doesn't. The symptom keeps on occurring. But be persistent like this woman. Pray. All this may have hindered you from coming to the Lord. But remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11 and 28. Jesus says, come. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. the rest that you really, really needed. And this is a promise of God. Actually, I would say that's a command of God. Come. Not just a promise, but this is a command calling you to come. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary, burdened, and I'll give you rest, the rest that you really need. God is more willing and ever ready to care and provide than we ever think or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. God is willing, but are we trusting him to do that? And verse 17 tells us, but the woman conceived. At first he said, no, Lord, man of God, do not lie to me, your servant. After a year, verse 17, the word but, the woman conceived. But the prophecy came to pass. But a woman conceived and she bore a son, and about that time, the following spring, as Elisha had said to her, her future is secured already. Really, her future is secured. No matter what happens to the husband, if he were to die, she's secure because there is an offspring to take care of her. But testing came upon her, greater disappointment came upon her. When times become tough, the woman don't give up. She knows that God had promised her a son, and even the son died, so-called, she knows that something will be able to happen in her. How many of us, many times, instead of coming to the Lord, who is able to do more exceeding, but we give up too soon? Don't. Even as we approach Christmas, Advent period, looking forward for Christ to come, Jesus said, remember, come to me. Sometimes we do not take the promises of God as real promises. It's just a word in the Bible. But God's promises, yes is yes, no is no. Now listen to what verse 22 and verse 23 happens. Then she, when the son died, when she called to her husband, the child died, then she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants of one of the donkeys that I may quickly go to the man of God. He wants to go to the man and discover that son has died. Her faith is aroused. This promise given by God is from God, and God will see it too. But it happens that the child died. Her decisive action, determined response, bring her to the prophet at Mount Carmel again. Having the child on her lap and then died. In verse 23, those who surround him ask, why do you go to him? Why do you go to this prophet? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She is very sure. She said, all is well. The son has just died. And she is able to say, all is well. Shalom. It means shalom. Peace, in spite of what she's going through. There were voices that may have given her doubts. Imagine her distress, carrying the son, and the son died. In her distress, she says, all is well. How many of us can say that? All is well. How can it be well? When I'm suffering, I've just been diagnosed of cancer, of terminal cancer. How can I say all is well? But she trusts the Lord because she was promised the son. The son died. He knows that God will do something. In spite of hopelessness, crisis, she says, all is well. Shalom. She knew her only hope is the man of God, which is Elisha, God himself. Verse 24, so she saddled the donkey and she went to the servant, urged the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God in Mount Carmel. She reached the place. And when the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, look, there is a Shamanite. And verse 26, run at once to meet her and say to her, is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child? And again, she answered, all is well. Just died, and she gave us to say, all is well. The beautiful thing is, as she was, verse 25, as she was set out and came to the Mount of Carmel, when the man of God saw her coming, that means Elisha already knew that she's coming, saw her coming, And then verse 26, run, ask the servant to run at once to meet her. When the man of God saw her coming, run at once to meet her and say to her, it's all well. It reminds me of the prodigal son. The father is waiting every moment of the day to wait for the prodigal son to come. And isn't that is what our God is waiting for us to come to him? And then even before we anything, as we approach, God saw us coming to him. And God sent the Holy Spirit at once to meet us, like meeting her. And God is asking, is everything okay with us? Is all well with you? With your job? With your spouse? Can we answer yes, all is well? Shalom. God is our Father, we know. And he's ever on the watching out for us, each one of us, every day. The psalmist in Psalm 121, verse 3 says, he who watches over you neither slumber nor sleeps. There's not a moment that the Lord's eyes taken out from us. He never sleeps. Remember, the Lord will hear, and the persistent woman go on with it. You know, there's a song that I love by Don Mion, a song that he never sleeps, a very beautiful song. This song really helped me through when I was asked to take over the Saturday service. It's a heavy responsibility, it's a great responsibility, and I felt very unworthy, but there's need here. And I will spend many days up in my so-called mountaintop, my prayer mountain in Yishun. And I keep on playing this song, he never fails. It becomes part of me, and it was so beautiful to know that God never fails, right? The song, I just want to read the song to you, that this song, the words of this song may minister to you. It says, when you pray, every prayer that you know how to pray, just remember the Lord will hear and the answer is on the way. Our God is able, he's mighty, he's faithful. He never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never tires of hearing our prayer. When we are weak, he becomes stronger. So rest in his love and cast all your cares on him. Do you feel that the Lord has forgotten your need? Just remember that God is always working in ways you cannot see. God is able, he's mighty, he's faithful. A song that really ministered to me. I said, Lord, it's difficult for me to take over, to be the service pastor of this congregation, especially growing, potential growth. But the Lord says, he's able, he's mighty, he's faithful. Yeah, he has not forgotten me, in a sense, and not forgotten you guys. Right? God is able to do it. Now, verse 27, I'm going to close soon. And when she came to the mountain of the man of God, she caught hold of her feet, so persistent, caught hold of the feet, and Gehazi came to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone. Remember, Hannah was crying and crying, right? People thought she's drunk. Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. But Elijah knows there's something that's wrong with him. God knows all our needs. He says, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares. He cares for us. Verse 28, then she said, did I ask my Lord? Now she's telling Elijah, did I ask you not for a son? I didn't ask for you. I didn't ask for a son. Did I? But you gave it. You said, you deceived me. You gave me a son. Verse 29, straight away, servant of God says, tie up your garment, take your staff in your hand, and go with her. If you meet anyone, do not greet. If anyone greets you, do not reply, and lay my staff on the face of the child. And then the woman, again, very persistent. Then the mother of the child said, as long as the Lord lives, and as long as you yourself, I will not leave. That means she's persistent, grabbing the feet of Elisha. Cool. The Shunammite woman's faith was in action. She refused, only insisted that Elisha goes with her. Verse 31, and Gehazi went on ahead and laid a staff on the face of the child, but there was no sign of life. Therefore, he returned to meet him and told him, the child has not awakened. Hope gone. Verse 32, and Elisha came into the house. Now, personally coming into the house, he saw the child lying on his bed. So he went up, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed. I could imagine the rest of it was outside, and then Elisha went in. Lay on the child, putting his mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, stretched his body upon it, and the child's body became warm. It's very drama, very drama. He lay on you, mouth to mouth, hands to hands, eyes to eyes, and lay the whole body. And then suddenly the child was cold. He's dead already. Becomes warm. A beautiful, a very dramatic drama scene. Body becomes warm. Then he got up again. Warm, but there's no life. Then Elisha got up again, walked back and forth. Very drama, if you think or imagine. Walked to and fro, many times. And he went up again, stretched upon the child. The child sneezed 7 times, perfect, 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Could imagine, if the mother were to be inside, she must be very panicky. Oh, don't do this, maybe you should do that, you should do that. That's right, the servant of God said, you go out, let me go in. Sometimes God works in a way that we never know, we can't see, right? God is working, the song says, just remember that God is always working in ways you cannot see. And if you were to see, our faith will be shaken. How come? You lay on the child's eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hands on hands, and yet the child is warm, but it's not alive. So better to stay outside and get the news after the child is resurrected. Verse 35 says, God, and the child sneezed 7 times, and this time the child opened his eyes. Sparkle opened the eyes. And then he summoned and said, call the Shunammite to be here. So she called her. And she came to him. And the servant of God, pick up your son. He does not handle over it. Pick up your son. A real drama experience. After awakening, he picked up a son. And then the child was healed, resurrected, perfect. And then verse 37, at the end, she came and fell at his feet, worshiping him, bowing on the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. The Shunammite woman's crisis turned into hope, turned into something beautiful. What are you going through? Let's take advantage. I put it in this vertical. Take advantage of God's promise for us. Even before it happened, God knew something would take place in your life. What you're going through, yep, God knows. God answers prayer in a way that we can never understand. But do not, like the song says, do you feel that God has forgotten your need? No, he has never. God is able, he's mighty, he's faithful. Just remember that God will hear and the answer is on the way. Just focus on him. He comes to bless the barren woman. Now many great things, I believe, miracles will happen to us, will take place even in our service here. Because we believe that God is able to do it. He's going to gather family together. He's going to build our family as a church together. Not only a natural family, but the family of God. Each one of us. That's why we have the Christmas tree. Everyone is important. It's not complete until you put your name on the Christmas tree. Everyone is happening. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to refresh us, renew our faith in the Lord. You know, many times, the other time I spoke of this in a shopping center, and many of the shopping centers will have their automatic door. And here you are outside, very hot. You saw many people inside. And as they go, step, the door opens and they went in there. They are in the aircon, cool aircon. And here you are outside, very hot, perspiring. It takes a little faith only to just step in and the door will be open and you'll be in the refreshing place of the aircon. And this is what God says, come to me. And we're going to pray as what we have always prayed, that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And whatever we are going through, even the crisis like this woman, hopeless, really everything ends. But the answer is on the way. Can I invite you to stand and pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer. As you enter into the automatic door, auto door, you are in a refreshing place. I'm going to pray sentence by sentence, and you follow me if you want to, asking the Holy Spirit to come and refresh us. Let us pray. You can repeat after me and hold your hands if you want to. Place your hands on your heart and say this prayer. only if you want to. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Fill me afresh. Let me experience the miracle that you long to perform in my life. Amen. Father, you have seen our hands putting upon our heart to ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, just come upon us that we need you. We need a refreshing touch. Lord, we have goofed up in our life. We have done things that we're not supposed to do. And we are in a tough time, Lord. The project we cannot meet. Our family is broken. Our relationship is almost gone. But Lord, I pray now for my brothers and sisters as they lay their hands on their heart. Lord, you refresh them with the Holy Spirit. Let them experience the miracle that the Shimonite woman experienced. The miracle that they long, that you long to perform in our life. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing this song as we're going to minister. Ask God to minister to us.